Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.
Preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in, and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start to the sharing off, we have Christy.
Hi, I'm Christy. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Christy.
It's really good to be here. It's a privilege to be coming in and sharing a little bit about my story. I got sober in my mid-20s, and I kind of look at my drinking as I was probably more of a binge drinker, so I drank for probably about 10 years of my life. By the time I got to the end of my drinking, I just knew that I'd kind of had enough, and I think, you know, the cliche of kind of sick and tired of being sick and tired, I just was, and I was sick of the lifestyle, sick of the lies. And I really just didn't know myself. So when I came into AA, which was self-voluntary, I just found the AA number through the phone book and turned up to AA by myself. And it was a pretty frightening moment, to be fair. But, you know, I kind of got introduced to a lot of people and decided from that point I went to treatment. And, you know, and I've kept coming since. You know, in the early days, they said, come on, Christy, like, get a home group, you know, like, do the suggested things. And, you know, some of the suggested things were get a sponsor, go to heaps of meetings, do service, and all that stuff. And, you know, I just did it. You know, I think because I was so desperate, you know, I was prepared to go to any lengths for my sobriety. And I did about a meeting and a half, or like about one to two meetings a day for the first 2.5 years of my sobriety. And then I had a little slip, because I was being dishonest with some stuff and ended up drinking again. And then 3 months later I came back and, yeah, just kind of haven't really left. Yeah, so I've been in AA and a proud AA member, you know, for a few years now. And, yeah, I still do regular meetings. I've always had a sponsor. You know, I've had a career, you know, I've had a child, I've bought a house, I've had stuff. But I've also, you know, I've learnt, you know, like with the tools of the program and, you know, like they say, like they said to me in the early days, Christy, it's about, you know, this is an inside job, you know, and we start working on ourselves when we work through the steps. And, you know, I've gone through the steps a few times with different sponsors over the years. And, you know, it's just a kind of different level of acceptance and self-awareness that I get, I guess, as I've stayed around in this program. And, you know, I haven't done it perfectly, but the thing is I've done it. And, you know, I've just stayed involved. You know, it doesn't matter what has gone on in my life, you know, work-wise, career-wise, parent-wise, whatever, travel or anything, I've just stayed plugged into Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I've got some really good friends in this program, which I, you know, really enjoy catching up with at meetings. Being of service helps me keep connected with others and, you know, like it makes me feel good. You know, I do service, one, because they say to do it in the early days, but I do it now because it does actually make me feel good. And, you know, to actually be able to do things that make me feel good without any kind of recognition, and just that feeling of self-esteem that you get when you do service is a really good feeling. So, you know, I always am doing some type of service because it, you know, it works for me, and it helps me stay positive and feel like I'm a contributing member of society. You know, because when I was drinking, I wasn't doing that stuff. Sure, I worked and I had relationships and stuff like that, But, you know, I know for sure for me that, you know, I medicated myself for a lot of years, you know, through alcohol, through drugs, through food, through relationships. So now that I don't have, you know, alcohol and drugs to soothe me, I have to find other ways and means to do it in a more healthy way. So I just feel incredibly blessed, you know, that I've stuck around AA, and, you know, I know it's just for today and all that stuff, but I do feel incredibly grateful to have this program. And, you know, I've gotten through job losses, deaths, you know, redundancies, relationship breakups, pets dying. Like, I've gone through stuff and I've done it sober. And, you know, that's really all I wanted when I got here, was just to feel some kind of normality and that I could just be a normal person. I feel really grateful to be part of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, it's just really nice to be here. Thanks.
Thanks, Christy. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Jennifer.
So hello everyone, my name is Jennifer and I'm an alcoholic. I live in Auckland here in New Zealand. My sobriety date is the 5th of January 2019. Do the maths, in 1 month's time today, I'm going to be 2 years. And that's what I thought I'd talk to you about today, is those first couple of years here in active recovery. Gosh, where to start? Well, I came into Alcoholics in May 2018. I specifically remember a meeting at my doctor's office, and my husband was completely bewildered on how to help his wife. And we sat there as a three, and it was suggested that I may in fact be an alcoholic and that I maybe should go along to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting and see if it resonated. So my first meeting was Monday lunchtime, Pollens Street in Auckland. I don't remember it. I distinctly remembered thinking my life was over. And what was I doing here? And how had things got so irrecognizable on the future and the life that I'd hoped to build? But I did get through that meeting. A kindly gentleman approached my husband that day and said, look, get her along to this meeting. It was about a day and a half's time. Go along and see if she fits in a bit better there. I can't tell you what happened in that sort of day and a half. I think probably I slept most of it. But when I walked into that Akron meeting and was greeted by Liz J and reassured that I was perhaps in the right place, a welcoming hug, a cup of tea, invited just to sit down and listen, I felt for the very first time that maybe, in fact, I did belong here. And that maybe the answers we were looking for might be answered in these rooms. So I kept on coming back from that day. But what did present itself is that I was extremely unwell. We don't really talk about outside issues here in the rooms, but a lot of us have them. Mine had to be attended to before I could actually launch into my recovery. I was barely able to stay sober during that point because I was wretched with the illness of alcoholism. But with loving treatment and care, I was able to start on my course of recovery just under 2 years ago. We opted for rehab, 2 months at the Salvation Army Bridge Program here in Auckland. It's a faith-based program and one that resonated deeply. I wasn't quite the right fit, to be honest. You know, at that time here in New Zealand, we are faced with an enormous problem of meth that is being addressed in the rehabs. And that is linked to crime, and that is not my story. But what I got from those 2 months was I solidly walked away, having completed step one 2 and 3. Step 1, realizing that I couldn't even stay sober when I was meant to be making chocolate Christmas balls with my daughter. The other half of step 1, when I wasn't allowed to leave the premises of rehab. Just to drop off the bags, I said. No, princess, you're not going anywhere. This is not the Hilton. Step 2, when a kindly chaplain advised me, Jen, we're not going to let you stay up half the night and talk to the night watchman. How about you start talking to God? And when things got tough, asking him to hand them over. I also learned how to kind of live again a little bit in rehab. I laughed and smiled for the first time in years and believed there may actually be a place here for me. A few years prior, I'd attempted to take my life. So those 2 months left me as a springboard to launching my recovery in my home. I, like many people in the story, in the rooms I hear, have lost so many tangible parts of their lives. But I was so, so fortunate. I had a home and family to return to, pets and all the optics of a life. So fast forward a little bit, I came back into the rooms I was doing in 90 and 90. I was on a long pink cloud. And I was out to save and to save anyone I could along the way. It didn't all quite work out. By then I'd gone through a couple of sponsors. You know, I simply wasn't doing the work. I wasn't really ready to take a long, hard look at me and write it in order to be able to move forward in recovery. I thought a job would fix it too. Again, that was just another reason to not focus on the work. So by November, as it was getting to my 50th birthday and a trip abroad, I was on the verge of drinking. I remember distinctly sitting up in Singapore, looking at the happy families around me, the couples. And there I was sitting alone and a menu in front of me. But I didn't order that cocktail. What I did do is I reached out to the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and those beautiful women in Singapore helped me in a way those days that I am so forever grateful for. And that really did keep me going for a few months here. And as we all know, this year has been simply a year in which we've all been in the same storm, but not in the same boat. Probably my sobriety was as precarious as it could possibly get. And when we went into lockdown, I lost yet another sponsor. So I was determined that I did not have another relapse. And certainly my family didn't have it in them either. So I reached out, and a beautiful woman in our fellowship has been working with me since, so towards the end of March. I've finally done the work, because there was nowhere to hide anymore. If I wanted the solution, if I wanted the relief, if I wanted to be able to move forward in my life, I had to do the work, and I'd finally found someone who wasn't going to be my best friend, my shopping buddy, my lunch buddy, but somebody who would take me through the 12 steps. She always talked about paying it forward and giving it back and so freely giving what we have received. I honestly couldn't comprehend it in those early days of working together. But today I actually have a sponsee. She's an international sponsee because a lot of my recovery this year has been online in the Women's International Marathon meeting. It has given me an incredibly strong foundation to my recovery, and I am so very, very grateful. So today I've done the steps. Not perfectly, I've realized. with a lot of little bits and pieces to tweak. I'm working with someone, and I can honestly tell you, my those early thoughts that were put into my mind that, you know, perhaps I would have something that someone else would want. And that's true, because I've actually become stronger in my recovery working with another than any other time in the last couple of years. I work hard. I do the SWOT. I do the practice, because it's a little different when you're doing it all online. I go to a big book study in Hawaii just to SWOT up as well. But do you know what? It really has brought me the greatest gifts in my recovery to date. So as we sit here in December, looking ahead, I look forward to guiding my sponsee through the final stages of her steps, and then to look long, hard and deep and see how I can continue carrying the message forward in my recovery. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks, Jennifer. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. Yeah. And the last person to share this morning is Eleanor. Eleanor, would you like to share?
Yeah, sure. Hi, everyone. I'm Eleanor. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Eleanor.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me on today. I'm really grateful to be able to do this piece of service this morning. And, yeah, thank you for being a part of my recovery today. Yeah, as the ladies who shared before me kind of alluded to, we do service in Alcoholics Anonymous to help us keep ourselves sober. So, you know, me coming here today, this is a part of my recovery. And this is gonna keep me sober today. Yeah, so my story, so I came into Alcoholics Anonymous just over a year ago. My sobriety date is the 6th of July, 2019. I'm from the UK, if you might have picked up from my accent. I got sober in London, and I came over to New Zealand, to Auckland, when I was 4 months into my recovery journey. Yeah, my initial plan was to come to New Zealand and kind of do meetings on the road and live in a camper van and, you know, have this fabulous lifestyle. It didn't quite work out that way. But, yeah, I'm really, really grateful to be here. And when I came in, I was really, really broken. I was in a really bad way. Drugs and crime are a part of my story. Although I had a fancy job in the city in London, and I have a good, I come from a good family, you know, I had a good upbringing, my alcoholism was very strong and, really took over my life, took me to a very dark place. Today I'm really grateful for that because it's brought me to God. But when I came in, I was really broken. I didn't realize I was an alcoholic, until just after the last drink that I took. You know, I did realize at different times that my drinking was, I suppose, a bit more extreme than some of my friends and, you know, I had lots of different friendship groups that I would drink with. So where kind of I'd be going out with potentially each of them once a week, you know, and that would be their once a week of drinking. It would be for me, you know, every day. But I just kind of thought I was young and single and having fun. And yeah, I didn't realize that that it was me trying to self-medicate, really, and deal with a lot of feelings that I had in the only way which I knew how. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous has given me today, is it's really given me a choice. you know, before, when I was sad, when I was happy, all I really knew how to do was to drink about it. You know, you go out and celebrate and you go to the pub. I didn't, you know, I just didn't know another way. I thought that was normal. And the thing that I was just, and I continue to be so grateful for in my recovery, is that Alcoholics Anonymous has given me choices. It's given me a choice to not choose to drink today. When I came in to Alcoholics Anonymous, I went to my first meeting, and I went pretty quickly after I decided to stop drinking, and maybe a day or two after, because I knew that I absolutely did not know how to stay sober on my own. I was very afraid. I was very afraid of prison. And I knew I needed to stay sober for to save my life. And so I went to my first meeting, and there was a lady sharing her story who was 2 years sober. And it was just incredible because she was talking about her story, and, you know, she was kind of a gutter drunk, if you like, really went to some dark places with her drinking. And yet there, 2 years later, she was sat with a nice handbag, and she had her hair done nice, and she was living in a new apartment. And, you know, I didn't really know what it meant. I didn't really understand how someone could change that much. But I knew that whatever she had done, I felt like that was my best chance to stay sober. So that kind of got me to my second meeting. And at my second meeting, I heard something that got me to my third. And that's pretty much been my journey. You know, I keep coming back because for me, this is the only way I know how to stay sober. This is the only thing that I can see around that I feel is going to work for me. And I understand my disease of alcoholism is... that I believe I'm bodily different from my fellows. You know, I believe I have like a physical allergy to alcohol. My body reacts differently to it. When I pick up a drink, I become mentally obsessed with it. You know, I'm just constantly thinking about the first drink, and even before that, I'm constantly thinking about alcohol if I'm in active drinking space. And spiritually, spiritually kind of no connection to any higher power really that's serving me. So I believe that the Alcoholics Anonymous for me is the only solution I can see that feels right. And it's awesome because initially I kind of came for my drinking, and I came to try and keep myself alive. And now, yeah, okay, those reasons are still true. But I stay in the fellowship because I really like to be here. Most of my friends are in the fellowship. I'm quite an active person. I like to... be involved in lots of different events and try different things. And AA puts on lots of camps. So for someone who doesn't know the country and is new, you know, doesn't have a family over here or any friends, I've been able to jump into the fellowship, travel really cheaply, make a lot of friends. And it's really incredible, incredible space. My home group is Women Out West in Henderson on a Wednesday. And the women in that room are incredible women and have offered me a lot of support. For me, I used to do a meeting every day and did for pretty much just over a year of my recovery, because that's what I needed to do to stay sober, I felt. Now I kind of do about 3 or 4 a week. That seems to be okay for me. I work with a sponsor, work through the 12 steps. I'm going through them for the second time. I do service. I do some different bits of service with my home group and outside of my home group as well. I pray. I pray every day. I try to stay very connected to the fellowship, and for me, to the women in the fellowship. And yeah, I suppose my drinking was very extreme, and my drinking was very heavy. I was a real binge drinker. So for me, I feel that my recovery needs to be very extreme. So I try to, where possible, bring it into all areas of my life. Yeah, and that's just what works for me. And I just feel so grateful. I feel so, so grateful to be sober today. And yeah, today it's a choice to stay sober, because I like the lifestyle of it. You know, I know that that drinking would not be good for me. I believe it'd kill me. But today, on as well as, you know, kind of the survival instinct part of it, living a sober life really is a preferable choice for me. You know, I have a life now that I really enjoy. And yeah, so I'm just so, so grateful to be here. And yeah, I hope there was something that resonated with someone. And if you're thinking about coming to a meeting and not sure, just come, you know, just come along, just check it out. There's no requirement to stay. There's, yeah, just come see if it's for you. And yeah, thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Eleanor. That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, where you'll find details of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA Meeting on Air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference.